First, I'd like to introduce myself. I've met a number of you, but not all of you. My name is Bob Symes. I was born and raised in a small town in California called Los Angeles. You might have heard of it. I was raised in the Catholic Church. Went to Catholic school all the way through high school. I went in the service. I met my wife in Fayetteville at when I was at Fort Bragg. We moved to California, or back to California, I should say, when I got out of the service, and I became a police officer. And after 12 years, I was medically retired from police work. So my wife wanted to return to, as she put it, her mountains. These are the mountains of North Carolina, where she was raised. If anybody knows the area up there, we're talking, she was born in Bakersfield and raised in Pentland. She missed her mountains. And I was, you know, okay, whatever. We moved back here and we were looking for a church. And as I was Catholic and she was Presbyterian, of course, we compromised and became Presbyterian. I went to work for the state of North Carolina in the Employment Security Commission, ended up retiring from that. We joined a small church called Jack's Creek Presbyterian Church. Probably about maybe half as many people as there are here were in the church. Anyway, the pastor asked me if I wanted to be an elder. Well, I was raised Catholic. What do I know about elders? You know, I said, sure. And so we had a get-together and an anointing. When somebody is made an elder, all the other elders gather around and put their hands on them. When they did this, for the first time and only time in my life, I felt this electricity start down in my soles of my feet and come all the way out the top of my head. Unbelievable. Anyway, after a year or so, the pastor asked me if I wanted to be a commissioned lay pastor. Hey, go to school? Yeah, I love school. Took me 14 years to complete my bachelor's degree. I love school. So I went. And it's a 2-year course, 2 weekends a month. And you spend all day Saturday there. And I learned more about the Bible in that short period of time than I did in the 12 years of going to school. Now, I did learn a lot going to school because we had religious classes every day, but I didn't learn the Bible. We were not encouraged to read the Bible when I was in the Catholic Church. So all we had were these little snippets that the priest would mention on Sunday, and then he would explain them to you. Anybody here ever read some verses out of the Bible and interpreted them themselves? Yeah. You know, I told my congregation that when the Bible was first printed, in case you weren't aware of it, it was this thick. But they knew people couldn't carry it around with them, so they got this big industrial press and they squoze it down to where it's just this thick. And what happened was you end up with the verses having several layers, different meanings depending on when you read those verses. Read some verses today. Go back in 2 weeks and read the same verses. You're going to understand something a little bit different from what you did the first time. Because the Bible is alive. Now, when I went through the commissioned lay pastors course at commissioning, they asked each of us a question. My question was, what really struck you about the course? And I said it was the Bible. Because for the first time in my life, I realized that there wasn't a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. It was God. Anybody has a good study Bible, you'll read something in the New Testament and there'll be references down the middle or off to the side referring you back to the Old Testament. And so you'll go there and you'll read those, and there'll be references to some over here. And you read those, and there's references over here. And it all fits together. The whole idea of the Bible is that God has sent word to us through, 40 different authors, 66 different books. I don't know about you, but I would have a hard time copying 10 pages exactly. But it was done over years and years and years. They found, I think it was about 10 years back, they found the oldest manuscript of John's Gospel. You know what was fascinating about it? It matched the scripture we have today. Now think about that. Thousands of years, hundreds of different translators, and it matches. Because it's God's word to us. I heard the Bible referred to one time as God's love letter to humanity. In other words, if you read the Bible and study the Bible, you find out that there's so much there. You have to look at everything in context to really understand things. So if you want to understand what Jesus was saying when he told a parable, you need to study the people back then. What was it like? Jesus tells us constantly that he's the good shepherd. Well, okay, that's nice. You know, I know a whole lot about sheep, don't you guys? Yeah. Yeah. But you have to know what he's talking about. Sheep will come to the voice of their leader. Sheep will follow their leader anywhere he goes. Sheep are, I hate to say this, but stupid. If the lead sheep falls off a cliff, the rest of them will just follow right along. Because that's what we're supposed to do, is follow our leader. Well, I don't think we're stupid. But I think we can think about what Jesus said to us and apply it to today's life. He's the good shepherd. He's the king. He's the president. He's the whatever you want to say. All because we're told about it in the Bible. Now, the Bible covers a lot of things. Oh, gee, willigers. You know, you have wars. You have pestilence. You have marriages. You have joy. You have descriptions of beauty. You have people who do good things. People who do bad things. Good people who do bad things and are then forgiven. And that's one of those things that gives us hope. Because I look back on my life and there are things that I did which I am not especially proud. I know you find this hard to believe. But the thing is that we have to remember that Jesus is here for a purpose. Jesus came down here to show us something. Now, the New Testament was mostly written within 80 years of Jesus' death. And it was not written as scripture originally. You think about it, you know, Paul wrote letters to people. He didn't think he was writing a scripture. He never figured those letters would be saved and passed down from year to year, century to century. All these things, the gospel, everything, it all came together to teach us how Jesus lived. We cannot see God. I've got this picture in my mind, and you know, most of us do. Man with a beard and you know, sitting up there on a throne. But I don't know what God is like. God is a spirit. If he wants to look like something, he'd look like anything he wants, which includes that old man with a beard. But what do we look at is not what is visible, what is actual, what is what we can see and touch. What we look at is what's in his heart. And you think about this, Jesus came here and showed us what God is like. His ministry was only 3.5 years. And he crammed so much into those 3.5 years I forget who it was that said it, but if you tried to write it all down, there's not enough paper and enough ink in the world to write down everything that Jesus did during those 3.5 years. They just hit the high spots. And that still gives us a picture of what God is like, how God loves you. And it's all written down in this book for us to read, for us to go back to, for us to study, for us to see all the different layers and levels of each verse. I did a sermon one time, 3 Sundays in a row, same verses. 3 completely different sermons. Because they meant something different to me each time that I read them. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Don't just read it. You know, I read books all the time. When my wife passed away and we sold the farm, I gave away about 10,000 books. I still cry about it. But I gave away something to somebody else so they could read it. You know, and I read those books. Now, can I tell you what's in every one of those books? No. Because I never studied those books. Well, don't just read the Bible. Study the Bible. Study the language. Study the way the people lived. Study the customs. There's so many different things we'll see if we'll read the parables, knowing what the world was like then. Now, Pastor Robert's been talking about Revelations last few weeks. Well, think about this. Revelation, John had revealed things to him that were in the future. Far, far in the future. And some of the things he describes are things that we can recognize now from what our world is like. But he had to go back and explain it to people in first century language so they would understand. They would have to know what it was he was talking about. Well, the Bible is here for us. And it has been translated into modern English so we can do that, so we can look at it and study it and learn from it. When you first start in the church, anybody remember the catechism? I don't know, we had to memorize the catechism, memorize all the words, all the questions, all the explanations. Had tests on it all the time. And the catechism gives us a basic knowledge. But if we want to grow, if we want to become more than just, okay, I've been saved, that's it, I'm going to sit back and cool it, take it easy. Kind of like that guy that grew so much stuff he had to build extra barns. You remember that story? And he said, oh, I can live on what I've got forever. And God says, forever ends today. Well, we need to grow ourselves and understand what it is that we're talking about, what it is that we understand. What do you believe? If you had to stop and explain to somebody right now what you believe, what would you say? If you'd studied the Bible, you could say something. You could import that knowledge from you to them. You could make a point with them. I had a friend of mine, he believed that when the world, or when he died, he just goes poof into the universe. And of course, I disagreed with him. And we would stand and argue for hours. We stood in Ingalls grocery store for 2 hours one time arguing about this. I never moved an inch, he never moved an inch. Well, he's died, so he knows. And, you know, I think that he probably found out he was wrong. That there is more than just this world, more than just this life. We need to remember that the Bible is about God. It's that love story for humanity from beginning to end. Good people did bad things, and they got caught for it, and they punished for it. God is here with us. He's here with us each and every day. He's here with us everywhere we go. And if we'll carry our Bible with us and read it once in a while, we'll find that He's here as well. The purpose of the Bible was to acquaint us with God. Now, I mentioned before about copying and how things got changed and stuff like that. And so I'm often asked, well, is everything in the Bible true? And the analogy that I came up with, the only one I could come up with, was anybody remember that ad for Victrola? The dog was sitting there with the speaker, and underneath it said, "His master's voice." Well, any one of us who has ever heard a vinyl record played knows that in the background you hear hisses and squeals and stuff like that. That's just from the steel needle on the vinyl. But you can still hear the music, still hear what was said. Well, that's what the Bible is like. With all the hisses and all the noise in the background, we can still hear our Master's voice. He still speaks to us today as He did 1,000 years ago. The book has changed my life. I hope it changes yours as well. In 1962, John Bailey wrote in Christian Devotion, "The final reality and the ultimate fact of our total situation to which we need to be adjusted is God. That indeed would be my definition of God. God is He with whom we have ultimately to do, the final reality to which we have to face up, and with whom we have in the last resort to reckon." So when I get up in front of a class and I'm a student, I want to have studied the book. When I get up in front of God, I want to have studied the book, to have known what it was that God was saying to us. Finally, Paul tells us, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So let us study the Bible so we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let us pray. Dear Lord, You have given us a book that tells us about You. And Lord, we thank You, because without something to guide us, we would be lost. We ask that You take the words in Your book and insert them into our heart, so we will know each and every day what You want us to do, how You want us to live, and that You are there beside us the whole time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.